All righty. Good morning, everyone. Come on in and find a seat. It's good to be with you all today. We had a great time at Bunko Night. I want to say thank you to Bob and Rose Marie for just putting together and it was a blast. We had a good time. We can't wait for the next one. So, if you hear any thunder today while I'm preaching, we'll just take it as an amen. All right, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we love you and we thank you. Lord, just for each person here, Lord, we thank you that you're doing a work in each one of us simultaneously, Lord. You're taking us from one degree of glory to another. Lord, we thank you that you're faithful even when we're faithless. Lord, we thank you that you will not deny yourself, but you will have your bride, you will have your people purified for yourself, ready on the day of Christ Jesus to stand blameless. And Lord, we long for that day, Father. Lord, we long to be more intimate with you. We long to be in greater fellowship with you. We long to know your heart and your mind and your ways. Lord, we long to be filled with your love and with your power to a greater degree. Lord, we long for you. Lord, we long for understanding. We long for the knowledge of the Holy One. Father, we long today for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to fall on us as a people this morning. As we open your word, as we look and gaze into who you are and your ways. And so, Father, we ask that by your spirit you would come now and help us, give us understanding. Lord, we want to be made more like Jesus in every way. And we're so excited that you're here with us. We're so excited and thankful that your spirit's at work. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are going to conclude our series on the Holy Spirit. We started this, it's been a 6-week series, but we started off our very first week talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, which is really foundational to all of our understanding about the Holy Spirit, because when we think of the Holy Spirit as a person, that makes this entire thing relational. And so sometimes we think of the Holy Spirit as a force or a vapor or a cloud or maybe something that just sort of comes on us and possesses us. But when he's a person, it's relational. When it's a person, we understand that he has a mind, he has a will, he has emotions, and our response is submission to his will, submission to his mind and his ways and his will. We also looked at the work of the Holy Spirit, where Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another one just like me. He's going to do the things that I've done with you. He's speaking this to his disciples, but Jesus would walk with his disciples. He would teach them and empower them. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is one who will come alongside you. He will dwell with you. He will dwell in you. He will teach you. He will lead you. He will empower you. And we looked at the power of the Holy Spirit as well and what it means to be filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit and all that he wants to do in our midst. And today we're going to, and then we started looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, we started off looking at prophecy. 2 weeks ago, we were at tongues and interpretation, and today we're going to talk about healing. But I want to just recap on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the things that we believe about them, and that first of all, that we believe the gifts are for today. Paul says that they're given for the common good. They're given for the edification, the strengthening, the encouragement of the church. Paul says that the gifts given to the church will bring the church into greater unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and will bring the church into the full stature of Christ. And so between his ascension and his return, as long as we need edification and encouragement, as long as we are less than mature, as long as we have not yet reached the full stature of the measure of Christ, we need the gifts of the Spirit at work in the church. And the second thing is this, is that the gifts need to be rooted and grounded. The foundation of the gifts is love. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, listen, the gifts, you're a body. There are many parts, and the parts of the body help and serve one another. And then he moves into 1 Corinthians 13. He says, that's why you need to understand love, that if you don't love the body, if you're not loving with your gift, you end up being a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if we don't understand this dynamic of we're a body, we're to serve each other, we're to have love for one another, and this is the foundation in 1 Corinthians 14 when he talks about prophecy and tongues, won't make any sense to us. So the gifts are for today. They're to be used for love. And thirdly, the gifts are to be eagerly desired. They're to be pursued. They're to be sought after. And so I've had conversations. I've had the privilege of interacting with pastors from other groups or other streams, if you will. And a lot of times I'll share some of the same things that I've shared with all of you here. And they're like, well, gosh, that's exactly what we believe too. There's not that on paper, a lot of times there's not that great of a distinction. But if someone were to ask me what was the distinction of grace fellowship, is that we take that phrase of Paul's eagerly desire, we take that very seriously. So we pursue them, we pray for them, we give room and space for them in the middle of our times of worship together. So that's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But today we want to focus on healing. And so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and beginning in verse 7, you can turn there if you want, but it's also on the screen here as well. But Paul writes, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And when we talk about healing, oftentimes you'll hear these three verses brought up, regardless of whoever is speaking. But one is, well, there's Paul's thorn in the flesh. Or we look and say, you know, Paul told Timothy, hey, take a little wine for your stomach ailments. Or there's an acquaintance of Paul named Trophimus, and he left him sick in Miletus. But oftentimes when we focus on these three verses, I've never heard or never found where the end of the conversation left you eagerly desiring in greater measure the gifts of the Spirit. I've never at the end of that conversation felt a conviction over my lack of faith. I've never felt encouraged to have greater faith. Most of the times when we focus on those three isolated verses, which have nothing to do with any teaching on healing, most of the time I'm left with a sense of just settle down. Just don't be too expectant. People get their hopes. People get disappointed, and it's kind of messy and hurtful. And what we found sometimes is that with the tendency is to focus on these three verses and actually ignore the rest of Scripture. We can all agree that God's original intent in the garden, His perfect order and way of things, was that there was no death, there was no disease, there was no sickness. But of course, sickness came because sin entered the world. And there is death and there is corruption because of sin. And then we look to the end of the age. We see the final, the fullness of the work that Christ accomplished in his death and resurrection. And we see in Revelation the new heavens and the new earth. And it's written there in Revelation 21, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. We see his original intent, and we see where this whole thing is moving to, how he's reconciling all things back to himself in Christ. We see God in his perfect order. And there is no sickness, but we're in this in-between time. We're in this in-between time where we have a lot of questions. We have a lot of frustrations because on the one hand, Jesus says the kingdom has come. On the other hand, he says it's coming. We live in this already, but not yet. The kingdom of God has come in part, but we're longing for it to come in fullness. And so sometimes we have questions why some are healed and some are not. Apparently, we have these questions of why sometimes I'll lay my hands on someone and they're instantly healed, and other times we have to pray for years for healing. What's going on? And these are valid questions, but the thing is, here's where we stand today, is we want what the Spirit wants. We want what the Spirit wants to give us. And Paul, at the beginning of his talk here in 1 Corinthians, he says, I want you to be informed. And so we want to understand what the Word of God says about what the Spirit wants and what the Spirit wants to give us, so that we can eagerly desire the things that the Spirit wants to give us, the gifts that He has for His church. We can pursue them in a biblical way. So one of the first questions that's often asked is just simply this: is it God's will to heal? All right, here comes the rain. Amen. In Exodus 15, here's the setting. Right? God has spoken to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. But God sends His people through Joseph into Egypt. And they're there, and they end up being enslaved for 400 years. They have these stories about their forefathers, but they haven't heard the voice of this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for 400 years. They know there's a promise. They know that God has a plan. They know that there's a land waiting for them, an inheritance for them. But who is this God? And so He shows up and through His prophet Moses and begins to speak to them, saying, let my people go. Pharaoh resists. And so God, with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand, begins to show great signs, power, as the Nile is turned to blood. There's a plague of gnats and frogs and locusts and the death of the firstborn. And finally, Pharaoh relents, releases the children of Israel, but then changes his mind. They find themselves at the Red Sea, and God once again does this mighty, powerful deed of parting the Red Sea so the Israelites can pass through on dry ground. They know He's a God of power, but then there's the question in their hearts, because they've been led out into the wilderness, and suddenly there's no water. And so they go a little further and they find water, but the water is bitter. So the question arises, who is this God that we're following? Okay, yeah, He's powerful. That's awesome. But is He good? Can we trust Him? Can we follow Him? Can we give our hearts to Him? And God tells Moses, some translations read a log, others read a tree. It says, the Lord showed him a log and He threw it in the water. And the water, the bitter water, became sweet. And there the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there He tested him, saying, if you diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in His eyes, and give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. Keep in mind, this is before the Ten Commandments. This is before any instructions over the tabernacle or how the process that they're to approach Him and worship Him, any instructions about sacrifice. The very first thing, before God even gets to any of that, is I am the Lord, your healer. And I am powerful, and I am your healer. The very first thing I want you to know about me and who I am is that I am your healer. Not only this, it's not that people saw all the mighty works of God, or they saw the water change, and I think God, he's kind of a healer. This is God's name for Himself. This is how God is choosing to reveal who He is to His people. I am the Lord, your healer. This was His name. The name that He desires that we would know Him by. It's His name. It's not just what He does, but who He is. Is it God's will to heal? And what's also interesting here is when you ask the question, what was healed? Water. We hear healing and we think, our physical body is a sickness of some type. But here, water's being healed. We think purify water. We think restore water. Scripture says heal water. And what we're beginning to understand here at the very beginning, the first time God reveals Himself as healer, is that this idea of healing in God's language is much broader than just simply your physical body. The idea of the Lord, our healer, to say that water is essential for life is kind of an understatement. Water is almost the source of life, but God says, I'm the one that provides the water. I will be your source of life. I will be everything to you. I am the Lord, your healer. One of the challenges in the adoption world is we oftentimes think of adoption as just a one-way street. I, the parent, am adopting the child, but the child actually has to do some adopting as well. I had a unique experience when we were in the middle of adopting our son, Andrew. I've never had anything like this before or after, but we're in the middle of this in-between time between meeting him and going to pick him up. We got word that the court had decreed that he was officially a Santor. He was ours. I was now fully responsible for him. And we had one of those digital picture frames, right, where pictures would be on a slideshow, and we just kept it there because we wanted our hearts to be minds to be continually triggered to pray for him. And we got the word, and that night I'm walking through the house, locking things up, turning off lights, and I go to walk by that picture frame, and his picture comes up. I'm like, oh. I put my hand on the picture. I'm like, Lord, bless him. We're coming, buddy. And in that moment, I felt in the spirit just this weight on my shoulders. It wasn't like this overpowering thing. It was like when you just put on a backpack. There's just a burden that was given to me, and I understood exactly what it means. I was being entrusted with a burden for his care. And I was jealous for him to find every need that he would ever have for his education, for his health, for his mental and spiritual well-being, for every his material needs, everything. I wanted him to find it in me. I would be his healer. What we need to understand is that what God is saying here is, I will take what is bitter, I will make it sweet. I will take what is broken, I will restore it. I will be the very source of life. I will be everything to you. I am the Lord, your healer. We understand that this idea of healing, it's restoration. Is it the Lord's will to heal? And as we look through Scripture, when he says there, I am the Lord, your healer, the phrase is, I am Jehovah, and this Hebrew word Rapha. And as we go through Scripture, this word Rapha, it's used in a variety of ways. Elijah repaired. Elijah Rapha'd an altar. Elisha restored or Rapha'd healed the waters. We're familiar with this verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, right? He says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will, one, forgive their sin and heal their land. God is making a promise to this people saying, I will deal with the spiritual and I will deal with the physical as well. What does a sick land look like? What does the economy in a sick land look like? What does the government in a sick land look like? What do family relationships in a sick land look like? And what is the spiritual condition of a people in a sick land? But God's saying, I will restore, I will repair, I will heal their land. And we got to understand that it's not just the physical, it's the spiritual as well. It's the financial. Some of us are in need of financial healing. Some of us are in need of relational healing. Some of us are in need of physical healing. And all of us are in need of spiritual healing. God's after the whole thing. He's after the whole person. There is no part of our lives that he wants to leave untouched by his Rapha, by his healing, by his restoration, by his purification, by his wholeness. He wants to bring his peace to every area of our lives. Is it God's will to heal? Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, the spiritual and the physical. How many of your sins did he not forgive? How many of your diseases is he not desiring to heal? Sometimes we pray for a neighbor or a family member to receive salvation. We pray maybe once, and if nothing happens, we don't stop praying. We keep believing that it's His will to rafa, His will to heal, His will to restore, His will to purify, because He is the Lord, our healer. In the same way, we contend for healing because it's on His heart. Is it His will to heal? In Proverbs chapter 4, it reads this, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh." Sometimes we say, well, it's just spiritual healing. No, that sounds like God is including physical healing in this as well. But the reality is that this idea of rafa, healing, wholeness, restoration, it's the whole person. And these things are oftentimes connected. Let's say you stayed up way too late, not doing anything sinful, just foolishness, video games, stupid movie, whatever. But you stayed up too late. And so you're tired in the morning, so you're running behind late, so maybe you skip your quiet time with the Lord, which isn't a sin. But I don't know about you, but when I get into that place, usually my day, I'm starting behind, I'm trying to play catch up, my mind's a little frazzled, and so because I haven't centered myself with the Lord and in His presence, I'm just feeling like everything's chaos, and so I'm just making frantic, reactionary decisions and taking on more than I should, and by the end of the day, I find myself completely worn out. The problem is that I did something foolish at the very beginning of this. And when we allow our bodies to get worn down, what happens? Sickness. So we understand that these things are, it's not just our physical bodies. It's not just the spiritual aspect of our lives. He wants to bring healing, wholeness, restoration, peace to the entire thing. Is it God's will to heal? In Isaiah 53, this is Isaiah's prophesying about the suffering servant, the Messiah. Jesus, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. If you have a paper Bible, if you remember what those are, if you look, oftentimes there'll be a little note by those, and it actually reads, He bore our pains and our sicknesses. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions, and He was crushed for our iniquities. Back-to-back verses talking about the cross, talking about Jesus, talking about the complete work of God in Christ is to deal with our pains and our sicknesses and to deal with our iniquities and our transgressions. The full measure of God's healing, His rafa, was found in Jesus. That He's after the spiritual and He's after the physical as well. Absolutely, our eternal spirits, our eternal souls are of eternal importance. But to say that God has no regard for the physical aspect of our lives is not biblical. But to press that point even further, in Matthew chapter 8, Matthew tells of Jesus healing all who came to Him. And Matthew says this was to fulfill Isaiah 53. And in Peter's epistle, he says, it says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness, for by His stripes we have been healed. Either Matthew and Peter are in conflict with each other, or we need to understand healing is the whole person. It's the whole deal. God is after physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, financial, relational healing. Rapha. On His people. And Jesus, we see Jesus as He moves through His ministry, healing all who came to Him. Jesus, the exact representation of the nature of the Father. Jesus, the radiance of His glory. Jesus, the image of the invisible God. And this is what He did. And this is who He was. And when He sent out His disciples to preach the good news, every time He said, preach the good news of the kingdom. And He always included this instruction, heal the sick, cast out demons every time. And then at Pentecost, they're filled with the Spirit of Christ. They're filled with the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead. And they ask God, give us boldness to preach and accompany us with signs, wonders, and miracles. The two go hand in hand. God is after the whole person. He's looking to rafa people. He is looking to heal. He is looking to restore, to purify, to make whole relationally, financially, spiritually, and physically. Is it God's will to heal? Because now you and I are the body of Christ, filled with the Spirit of Christ, sent to fulfill the mission of Christ, who is anointed with the Holy Spirit and power to go about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. In the New Testament, the word for healing is sozo, which is translated healing or salvation. It's the whole thing. It's the whole person. It's the whole picture. Like I said, obviously, yes, our eternal spirit is of eternal importance. And I would much rather see a sick person go to heaven than a well person go to hell. But to say that God is not interested, that he has nothing to offer for our physical bodies or any other aspect, material aspect of our lives, is unbiblical. Is it God's will to heal? Well, John says this in his epistle, I pray that you would be in good health and prosper. Oh, that's a dirty word, I know. And prosper even as your soul prospers. Is John praying for something that's not in God's will? Or is he praying that you would understand the blessings, the fullness of blessings that God has for every area of your life? James says this. He says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be sozoed, healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. What's James saying here? Sometimes people say, you know, well, I'm really suffering with this sickness, but I just want to learn what the Lord has to teach me in this time. James is saying, if you're sick, do something about it. Go get prayer. He tells Timothy, he says, take a little wine for your stomach ailments. Do something about it. Take the pill. Go to the treatment. See the specialist. Do something about it. I just was sharing even during the break. You know, we had a little bout with COVID a few weeks ago. Man, the exhaustion. You know, I went from being, man, oh God, you're awesome. We're going to pray like never before. We're going to go after the Lord. We're going to do all these different things, to being like, do I have to do any of this? Because sickness, you're not as fruitful. You're not able to be as prosperous in any area of your life when you're sick. Do something about it. If it wasn't God's will to be sick, then doctors and nurses should resign. Because how do you know if it's God's will to be healed? Or by the way, God has hardwired our physical bodies to fight sickness. Because he is the Lord who heals us. He's the Lord who refaws us. He sozos us. He restores us. He makes us whole. He purifies us. Every aspect of our lives, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, relationally, everything. He wants the whole person. He wants his glory to be revealed in all of it. Is it God's will to heal? I think so. And sometimes people ask this question. They say, well, what about suffering? Aren't we called to suffer? Absolutely. But our calling, Paul says, I pray this, is I want a fellowship in his sufferings. I want to be conformed to his death. When we look from Isaiah, we see that he was smitten, he was stricken, he was not esteemed. The rejection of Christ, or the sufferings of Christ, were the rejection of man. It was their persecution of him, how they ridiculed him, how they rejected him, how they mocked him, how they despised him. Some people have asked the question, was Jesus ever sick? I have no idea, but I know that he suffered. And we're called to join him in those sufferings. Paul said, I want to make up in my body that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. And if we look at 2 Corinthians and those verses there, you can write them down and read it for yourself. But he lists being shipwrecked and in prison and having beatings. But sickness is never listed. I think a more appropriate title for sicknesses when we have to endure them is that these are testings of our faith. or trials that we have to endure. But that means we have a mindset of, I'm hanging on to a promise even through this. I'm hanging on to a promise even when nothing's happening, apparently, from my perspective. But let's get the language. Let's get the language right. And then Jesus even clarifies, even in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Right? These are the sufferings that we are called into. And of course, sometimes people say, well, what about Paul's thorn? The reality is that first thing is that nobody, and I mean nobody, knows what Paul's thorn was. We have good guesses. We have maybe some speculation about it, but nobody does. But to say absolutely this is sickness and this is going to determine our whole theology on healing from something that we don't even really know what it is pretty shaky ground to stand on. The other thing is that the phrase thorn in the flesh is used twice in the entirety of Scripture, and both times it refers to a human being. Paul describes it as a messenger of Satan. But Paul's whole point wasn't talking about healing. Paul's whole point is that I was made weak because I received revelations. I was taken up into the third heaven and received revelations so great I can't even talk about them. But the temptation is I'm going to get prideful. The Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh, whatever that is, to keep me humble. So before you go talking about your thorn in the flesh, if you have one, it's because you're prideful, right? All right. So why are some not healed? And the answer is that we're not really given a clear answer in Scripture. Scripture doesn't give us any real clear line of this is why. If ever a healing doesn't happen, it's because of this. It tells us plenty, as we've seen, about who God is. It tells us plenty about His nature and His mercy and His goodness and His kindness and His power and His love. It shares with us His heart. We know His will. But we may not know His why. And if you read on through the book of Job, in the book of Job, we understand later on, we get this insight that there were spiritual dimensions, spiritual dynamics that were going on. It was the enemy at work, but when God went to work, He restored all these things of blessing and prosperity in Job's life. But there is a spiritual component to it. Sometimes we know that, and sometimes we don't. You know, as we read in James, it says, you know, there's the prayer of faith. Sometimes there's an element of faith. Not that I'm pointing, anybody should ever, let me get this straight, no one should ever say it was because of your lack of faith this didn't happen. That should never happen. I mean, actually, when James is talking, he's talking about the faith of the elders praying. But Jesus did say when He healed, as He went through Matthew, be it done unto you according to your faith. So our faith, there's a measure of that that's responsible or that is connected with God's working in our lives. But we never question His will. Sometimes, like we said, the thorn in the flesh was to keep Paul humble. There are so many dynamics that could be the situation to point blame on one person or say it was this or that. It's not neither appropriate or helpful. We know His will. We know His heart, we know His mind, we know His character, we know His nature, we know His goodness, we know His mercy, we know His power. We may not know His why. That's the story of the rest of Job, is God's asking Job all sorts of questions, all the whys of life, and Job doesn't have an answer. But we know His will. And so even in the midst of, I'm not seeing healing the way I want it, when I want it, we're called to simply fix our eyes on the healer. On who He is, and stand on that truth, and stand on that reality, not the speculation of man. And the other thing is I had to repent of this in my life, because I used to hear a statement like, well, death is the ultimate healing. I thought that just means you didn't get your prayer answered. I just thought that was lame. I just But what I've learned is this, is that I need healing in more ways than I even know of. Like I still have fleshly thought patterns that I can't break out of. I need to have my mind renewed daily. I still carry emotional wounds that affect the decisions that I make, that affect my being hesitant to do certain things, that make me angry because I'm fearful. I need healing. And not only that, but the Lord promises us a resurrected body. I didn't quite make it to 6 feet in this life, but I'm going to get there in heaven. Glory to God. I'm going to have hair that lays down, a normal size nose, and six-pack abs. Right? It's going to be I'm going to be healed. The whole person. The whole person. And there, you're going to be healed in ways that you didn't even know you were sick. You're going to come alive in ways, there's the thunder, that's amen. You're going to come alive in ways you never even knew you were dead. That's our healing. And there have been plenty, I've got lots of questions for God when I get there. Why, when we prayed, why did we have to go through this pain? Why could you not have healed when we asked you to? But I don't know, all I know is that when we get there, that's our faith. That's our hope. That's our confidence. That's where this thing is going. Our healing. It's His will, but we don't know His when. And so sometimes we pray and we think we lost because the person passed away, and that's sad. That's so, it does. But that's part of our groaning. That's part of our ache. That's part of our longing for the day when the sons of God will be revealed. The day when the temporal things are going to fall off us and we're clothed in glory and we're clothed in immortality. This ache, this things aren't right. This isn't how it should be. You're absolutely right. It's not how it was ever intended to be. But He is bringing us to a day when all things will be made new. So I don't know why we pray sometimes and someone doesn't get healed. But I know He's the healer. And I don't know why. Sometimes I lay hands on someone and they're healed right away. And sometimes I lay hands on someone and pray for them for years and it takes that long for them to get healed. I don't know why. I don't know when. But I know who. I know who to fix my eyes on. I know who to declare over myself and over this person who He is. The Lord, our healer. And so it's always, 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 always His will to heal, because that's who He is. Is it His when to heal? He'll let us know. We'll find out. But ours is to stand on His truth. Ours is to press in. If we could have the worship team come forward, I want to share this as well, that there's a difference. We think of healings and we think we have this expectation that every time healing occurs, it's always instantaneous. There are healings and then there are healing miracles as well. And we've seen both. We had a woman here a number of years ago who had an aneurysm and a week later walked out of the hospital fully functional. We've also prayed for years for a number of women in the past who weren't able to have children and then ultimately conceived. I know of two individuals who had severe food allergies. One of them told the story, said, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and finally the Lord told him, said, you need to start receiving that healing. And so they started saying, I received the healing, I received the healing. And then they said, one day I wanted a piece of toast. And so I went down and made some toast, and it was delightful. And I had a second piece, right? The Lord broke in, and the Lord healed. And sometimes it's instantaneous, and it's wonderful. And sometimes it's something we have to contend for. But here's what Jesus taught. He told this story about a widow who would go before an unrighteous judge day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. And even though this judge is unrighteous, finally he relents. And it's not, and Jesus, the point isn't that God's is, you know, I'm just waiting for you to earn your healing. The point is that even the unrighteous judge, even the unrighteous judge gave this woman what she needed. How much more will your heavenly Father? And Jesus tells, or the scripture says at the beginning of this parable, Jesus told them this so that they would pray and not give up. Jesus says, ask. And the wording there is ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. For all who ask and keep on asking, and all who knock and keep on knocking, and all who seek and keep on seeking, they will find. They will get an answer. The door will be opened to them. Jesus would not have told us these things if every time we prayed it was supposed to be done in an instant. And that's part of the problem with saying, well, it's your faith or it's this problem over here, is that oftentimes God is wanting to do a work in us. Because James says, perseverance must finish its work, that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so we press in. So we pursue. We ask. We seek. We knock. We contend. We are relentless in our pursuit of to see the glory of God, our healer, manifested in this place, in this group of people, in this body, in this city, because he wants to rapha, sozo, heal, restore, purify, make Tekoa whole. There are, we walked through plenty of broken marriages to see God heal. We've seen strongholds broken off of people's lives because God wants to heal. We've seen people walk through traumatic abuse and seen God heal. And we've seen physical ailments fall off of people because God is the God who heals. We never relent. We never let up. We press in so that the manifestation of the Spirit may come for the common good, so that we might be encouraged and built up in this in-between time. That's the gift of prophecy, right? We see through a mirror dimly, but we get a word and it encourages us about the future glory that's to come. The Spirit moves, we have faith for healing, and he shows us this is what the future glory looks like. Pain, sickness, sorrow, tears, they're gone. They're done away with. They're judged. Healing has come. This is why we press in. This is why we contend for healing. Because we've seen him do it. We have his word that testifies of what he does. We've experienced it ourselves. And our desire is, Lord, do more. We hunger for this. We long for it. So what are we to do? I may have covered it. But we know his will in healing. Get into the word. Ask for revelation and understanding. Paul prays, I pray that you'd be filled with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Right? It's great that I've said these things to you, but you have to own them for yourself. Like, this is my truth. This is the reality. This is the revelation that I walk in as God, my healer. So we never pray, if it be your will, like, God, heal. Because that's who you are. That's what you accomplished in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And we eagerly desire the manifestation of the Spirit through healing. We're going after this thing every time. No matter how big it seems, no matter how impossible it seems, we're after healing because that's who he is. And now through the local church, that's his work on the earth. It's bringing healing to every aspect of life. And we persevere in our pursuit of healing. Let's all stand together. We close our times here for exactly this reason. And we want more than just simply some great songs and a good talk. But we know the Lord is here to heal in every area of our lives. The Lord is here to restore, to make right, to purify, to take the bitter and make it sweet. So we want to close with a time of just being the body of Christ, being the hands and feet of Christ, doing what Jesus came on the earth to do and what he sent his Spirit for the church, his people, his disciples to do, how he's anointed us, how he's filled us, how he's come alongside us, how he dwells with us and in us to do these things. This is the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And so if you need healing today, if there's a stronghold in your life that you can't break free of, if there's a broken relationship that you want God to move in, if there's a need, if there's a burden that you carry, God's the Lord, our healer, and he wants to make all things new. So if you're in need of prayer today, if you'd be willing just to slip up your hand, we'll have some people gather around you. Sit right here. Sandy, back. Hold your hands up high if you can, just so if everybody can look around and see these hands in the back corner over here as well. All right, there's going to be a bunch. So we're going to need all hands on deck, okay? Keep your hands up for a second. I'm serious, guys. Like, this is you can't just leave it to the pastor up front to handle all this. All right? Okay. I'm going to close this in prayer, and then, again, I need all of you. Young teenagers, adults, little kids. Yeah, little kids. My father's back was hurting when they were visiting last time, and so Ava, pray for him. Got up the next day, the pain's gone. Right? There's no junior Holy Spirit. We've already said that.